Good morning and welcome to the Word of Life. For you to have joined us this morning means that you have had to make a choice. And the choice that you have made is to put something else aside and take on listening to the program this morning. Let me personally say thank you for taking the time to listen. We are at a juncture in our studies where an event is recorded in Scripture without any frills or without any fancy words or anything like that. The simple statement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is about to be divulged to you. If you have never read the passages that deal with the resurrection of Jesus, I invite you to be opening your Bible up. Probably we'll start in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. Luke 24, that's probably the one we'll read first. Now, there are several statements about the resurrection made throughout the New Testament. And as you are turning to Luke 24, I want to remind you of one of the interesting things about the resurrection. We had talked at the very end of the program last week about the struggle to believe in the resurrection by those people that were there at that time, how Joseph and Nicodemus, who embalmed the body of Jesus, didn't expect the resurrection. The women who went and prepared spices, the gospel account tells us, on the Sabbath, or rested on the Sabbath, preparing spices before so that they could come and even anoint the body of Jesus further after the Sabbath. The Jews that didn't expect it, the Romans that didn't expect it, all these things come together to show us that no one really expected the resurrection of Jesus. And we talked about how hard it is to believe. Do you understand that even in the church of the first century, there was a real struggle in the events that took place? And this was in the lifetime of the eyewitnesses. Now, if you remember, for instance, and let me give you just this picture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is a statement beginning about verse 12 and following on down through in the chapter for several verses that talks about the struggle that the church at Corinth had both to understand and embrace the resurrection of Jesus. You know, if it had been anybody else but Jesus, the story would be unbelievable. If the context had been anything else but the prophecies and the reality of who Jesus is, the story would be unbelievable. But by who Jesus is, by the prophecies made concerning him centuries before, death could not hold him. The resurrection takes on a very significant and unique meaning. This is not just a magic show to impress people. It is the fulfillment of what God the Father said would occur. God the Father, the Son, the Spirit speak in agreement on this. And in fact, that's one of the things that Peter talks about in Acts chapter 2, how the Scripture had said before by the mouth of God that death could not hold him. Corruption would not gain control over Jesus physically. What you and I understand from all of this is that the resurrection was not just a point of action in history that occurred with nothing else around it, but it was surrounded by prophecies and words and statements and events that showed that the resurrection would have a contextual meaning of providing for us a resurrection from death in Jesus to the sin that we had been guilty of, and life in Jesus to the righteousness that we are desperately in need of. 2 Corinthians 5:21 talks about that, other passages in the New Testament. I want you simply to understand that this is not just a blind shot in the dark. This is a specific fulfillment of what God said would happen with Jesus. In Luke 24, we read simply the statement that Luke makes. Now, remember how Luke wrote this gospel. He was writing to probably one that was a Roman official of some kind, most excellent Theophilus. That is the way that even Paul addressed Felix and various ones throughout the Gospel of Acts that were Roman important people. In writing to Theophilus, Luke's point was to have investigated everything carefully and to make sure to write down the accounts of the eyewitnesses, the corroborated evidence, if you will, of the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. We begin in Luke 24 and verse 1. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. As the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day raise again." And they remembered his words. For just a moment, I want you to look at verse 8 there, Luke 24, verse 8. And I want you to consider how important that is. They remembered his words. It's not just that the angels appeared and said that Jesus was alive. The angel appeals to the fact that they heard Jesus say that what would happen, and you see it written there in verse 6 and verse 7, is that Jesus had spoke to them saying the Son of Man, that is Jesus himself, will be delivered to the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. You see, this is not just an act that's in a vacuum. This is what Jesus said would take place. And they remembered his words. What if you had been there? Would the first thing that you have done, if you were there and saw these angels standing there saying, "Why are you looking for the living one among the dead?" would the first thing that you have done be to say, "Let's see, what did Jesus say? I remember from the very beginning," and would you list all these things in your mind, and would this be the logical reasoning that you were doing? No, you'd be scared out of your socks right there. You might, as Jerry Clower used to say, you might faint dead away. But the point is that upon the prodding of the angels to think back to what Jesus had said, that these women were able to say, "I remember Jesus saying these words." Now, what had happened, you saw it in the text very early on that day as it began to dawn, and that was the end. There was morning and evening the first day in Genesis, and that's how the Jews were reckoning time, from morning till the next, or from evening till morning, that kind of reckoning. We understand that what was happening was these women, at the very first opportunity, were able to step out. They went towards the tomb. They were bringing the spices that they had prepared. And if you look in chapter 16, verse 1, or chapter 28, verse 1, of Mark and Matthew, respectively, you'll see the same statement that these women were bringing these spices. As you look then at this verse, what you're seeing is that these women were not expecting to find Jesus alive. They were expecting Jesus to be dead. They were expecting that when they arrived there, the body would be in the tomb, because their angst was that Jesus was not in the tomb. All of these things point to the fact that they just figured this was like any other death. Once it took place, then it was over. But there's a very interesting thing that had occurred. And it's recorded, actually, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 through 4. I want you to, if you want to turn there, that's fine. If you want to listen, that's fine. I want to read you the text. "Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, his garment as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." Now, if you remember last Lord's Day, we referred to the fact that in a little further on in Matthew 27, these guards went and talked to the Jewish leadership and said, "Let us tell you what happened. What do you think was in that report?" Well, they would have said what happened here in these verses. There was an earthquake. The stone was rolled away. This being appeared. And we fainted. That's what they would have told the Jews. That's all they could have told them. And that's when the Jews had this little conflab and said, well, we're going to give you some money, and you tell everybody that the disciples stole the body of Jesus, which doesn't make any sense at all. Well, you were asleep. That's what they were told. But this is the event that took place that the women were surprised at. Not that they had experienced the event, but they found in verse 2, you see it, the stone rolled away. Now, they come up and the gospel accounts tell us they were talking about who's going to roll the stone away from us or for us, who's going to help us. Mark 16, chapter 3 mentions that. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? But they saw that it was gone, and they didn't know how, they didn't know why. They still didn't think that Jesus was alive, I can tell you, because the first thing they did in verse 3, it's noted that when they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, why is that statement made by Luke? Well, it's made because they were expecting to find the body of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because when you put a dead body somewhere, it doesn't do anything by itself. It doesn't get up and walk away. When I die, my body will stay dead until the Lord Jesus calls me back to life. People that I know, I can go out to the graveyard now, and I can look at their graveside, and I can know that their body is there. I can know that their body has not moved unless the earth itself moves and causes this one to move. But you see, they expected to find Jesus in the tomb. While they're looking, verse 4 tells us, and look there in Luke 24, verse 4. While they were perplexed, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. Now that's enough to scare you, because verse 5 says, the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men asked them a question. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Now, this acknowledges something that's very interesting, that the resurrection of Jesus didn't cause everybody to be resurrected. Now, there's the account in the gospel accounts that when Jesus died, there were some who were resurrected. But the fact that Jesus was resurrected specifically, seek the living one among the dead, points to the fact that this is a fulfillment of prophecy, not just an accidental awakening from the dead, which doesn't happen, right? You and I look at this and we understand exactly what's going on, don't we? Why were they so scared? Because these were not men that were talking to them. Now we'll talk about that a little more after we take a break and listen to a song.
As I walk on life's pathway in this pilgrim life, I will meet many troubles, many sorrows, much strife. But I'll not fear the future nor tomorrow's new day, for my Savior is leading the way. If you travel alone with no one by your side, and you're needing a shelter that from storms you may hide, then today you should meet him who died on the cross. say folks like us who were lost.
Do you need a friend to walk with you as you travel on your way? Then you need
would you have said if the question was asked of you that's asked there at the end of verse 5? Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Well, that wasn't the end of the statement the angels made, but wouldn't you say, well, this is where we look for dead people? Because you would have assumed still that Jesus was dead. But the statement is made there in verse 6, and I want you to consider this. Luke 24, verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Now, we'll analyze that in a minute, but look at the first two couplets of that verse. He is not here. He has risen. Now, he is not here, see, would fit in with what the Jews paid the soldiers to say. He is not here. Well, that means that the disciples came, well, those soldiers were asleep and stole the body and walked off with it. The interesting thing is that the angels don't finish at that point. It's not just that he is not here. It's not just, by the way, that the tomb was empty. A lot of tombs can be empty. Grave robbers can make a tomb empty, right? But notice the next couplet. He is not here, but he has risen. That is, they're saying that something different has happened. It's not that somebody's taken the body. It's not that, as people would assume, that dead bodies don't do anything. Well, the truth of the matter is, dead bodies don't do anything for themselves. But Jesus, you see, did not stay dead. Why? Because just like it was prophecy that he would go to Calvary, just like it's prophecy that he would die at Calvary, bearing our sins, just in the same manner, it was prophecy that he would live again. Now, the prophecy is very interesting about him living again, because at least one of those prophecies was made by Jesus himself. Look at the end of verse 6 going through verse 7. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Now, before we go on, remember that what Jesus is, what we learn here, not Jesus, but what the angel shows us here, is that the emotional response that we have is to be guided by the reality of what God says. That's what he says. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. This is in the middle of these women struggling to get their minds around what the angel is telling them. He is not here, he has risen. Well, the basis for understanding that is remember what he told you. Verse 7, saying that the Son of Man, number 1, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, number 2, be crucified, number 3, the third day rise again. Part of Friday, Saturday, part of Sunday, 3 days. Here we are, where Jesus had said that resurrection would take place. The women had a choice here. They could either run out screaming and hollering, saying, "Help, we don't know what's going on." Or they could listen. Verse 8 says they listened. They remembered his words. What a beautiful way to start that statement. They remembered his words. Verse 9 tells us they returned from the tomb, reported all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now, we'll be talking about that in a later study, but right now, let's just understand the significance of what verse 8 begins with. They remembered his words. Have you ever faced in your life something that is totally overwhelming? You cannot deal with it, whether it's a death of somebody that you love, whether it's the life of somebody that you love. Lord knows the struggle sometimes of living is almost as hard as losing someone. Do you understand that the stability and sanity in life that we need is found in remembering his words? Jesus gives sense to the events that happened around us. A nonsense event had taken place. The very Son of God, the Prince of Life, the one who claimed to be Messiah, had died. We were hoping, remember Luke 24, later on in this same chapter, the statement is made. We were hoping it was he that was going to redeem Israel. But he's dead. But Jesus' words make sense out of the maelstrom of life, don't they? There are many of us who can testify to that truth. Now, that's not the proof that we're after. My testimony, your testimony, that's not what this is about. It's the testimony of Jesus that this is about. Jesus said this is what would happen. In a few moments, we'll think about that. Right now, a song.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I'm telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took the offer of grace he did proffer. He saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings infernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
So I want to offer you something, and I will say that I'll do it in the name of Jesus. I want you to concentrate on this and the instability of life and the storms that are around you, I want you to remember the words of Jesus. And in the sense that these women in Luke 24, verse 8, remembered the words of Jesus. In a very unstable situation, that is unstable from the perspective of the women. Body of Jesus was gone. The angels were talking to him. The guards were gone because the guards were talking to the Jews by this point, probably, as recorded in Matthew 28. When we look into that situation, what is there that could bring peace in the middle of this struggle? Well, it's kind of like when the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. The storm was around them, breaking upon them. Jesus came walking on the water to them. You see, it is the presence of Jesus, not the absence of the conflict, that is the source of stability that we need and the source of being able to stand. The presence of Jesus, not the absence of the conflict. Do you understand that? Do you see how it worked here? You see, the resurrection is what makes it all make sense. Next week on The Word of Life, we'll continue our studies in this vein. There are many more things to say and very little time, it seems, to do it. You join us then. God bless you through the week. We'll be praying for you.